you, I am in me, becoming and allowing. Steve Garnas Holmes is using this term, I am, in this poem as a reference to a foundational story in the Judeo-Christian heritage, a story in which God speaks to Moses of God's nature. The story goes that Moses is off on the mountainside on his own, tending his father-in-law's sheep, and his attention is grabbed by this bush that's on fire, but it's not being burned. And then God calls to him from within this bush and tells Moses that Moses is to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. And Moses, being a human, questions that he is the right one for this job. And he asks what he should say to the people. Here's the scripture from the New Revised Standard Version of the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God says to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God's response to Moses' first question about his worthiness to serve is that God will be with Moses, that Moses will be accompanied. And so God asks God, "Well, who are you anyway?" And God replies, "Eye Asher Eye." Translated into English, this means what I read out of this verse. It means, "I am that I am. I am that I am." In other words, "Moses, stop asking so many questions and trust in me." But because biblical Hebrew didn't distinguish tenses, the meaning is more nuanced when it's translated into modern Hebrew. It's more like, "I will be what I will be," or "I am who I am becoming." Or maybe, "Hey, Moses, be still and know that there's more here than you can possibly understand. And what is changes." And so it is with us humans too, says Steve Garnas Holmes. We are constantly becoming, learning and practicing what it is to be human and to trust that all the time. You, I am, in me becoming, and I allowing. This is an invitation to stop, take a breath, and allow the becoming that is already within us to happen. And as we allow our own becoming, we are inviting change between and around us as well. You've heard the saying, "Be the change you wish to see in the world," right? Until last week, I thought this was something Gandhi had said. But I've learned through Google and other resources that it's actually a really simplified version of what he really said. Here's the full quote, as far as I can tell, with a little edit by me for gender inclusivity. "We but mirror the world. All the tendencies present in the outer world are to be found in the world of our body. If we could change ourselves, the tendencies in the world would also change. As a person changes their own nature, so does the attitude of the world change toward them. This is the divine mystery supreme, a wonderful thing it is, and the source of our happiness. We need not wait to see what others do." makes me think about a thing I learned in seminary. There are a couple of kinds of learning that have to happen for people learning to be ministers. First is the content stuff, reading and interpreting the Bible and other sacred texts, studying the theologies and the histories of our faith tradition and many others, learning about systems of oppression and strategies for liberation. These are the kinds of things we engage with our minds. And then there's the less concrete stuff, the heart stuff, learning how to preach and teach and chaplain and build community and make space for spirit to show up and recognize when that's happening. The kinds of things that engage our hearts and our spirits. And these kinds of learnings, these head learnings and these heart learnings, they're completely intertwined in the seminary process and often in life, right? Because the expectation is that we're constantly bouncing the content against how we feel and making meaning of it. At some point, I had this kind of meta moment when I realized that this integrated learning process held what I once thought of as two completely opposing ideas. That it was all about me and my growth, and completely not about me, all at the same time. The headwork of content learning combined with the heart work of connecting changed how I saw the world and engaged in it. And my new ways of engagement helped guide who I was becoming. So you don't have to experience seminary to see this, or to know that we get to choose how this goes. We can simply mirror the world, reflecting what we experience right back at it and not let it impact who we are or how we move through it. That could look like going out on a hike or to an art museum and admiring the beauty we see without really taking it in and letting it move us. It can look like reading about the impacts of climate change or COVID on our human siblings and continuing with business as usual. Or we can learn to acknowledge that everything that happens around us impacts us so that we can invite it in and allow it to help us become. And that anything we do to make change within us radiates out in these ripples of change around us. So how do we do that? The hymn we tried to sing together a few minutes ago offers us one way. It invites us to celebrate our becoming and the condition that requires it. Creative love, our thanks we give that this, our world, is incomplete. That struggle greets our will to live. That work awaits our hand and feet. That we are not yet fully wise. That we are in the making still. Creative love, our thanks we give. This makes me think about my other big meta moment of seminary. Yes, I had two total. This one was during my last year there. As part of my program, I had done all these things. I had volunteered at a domestic violence shelter in my town. I'd helped build a village in Haiti for people fleeing Port-au-Prince after the devastating 2010 earthquake. I'd spent a summer working as a chaplain in a hospital on the south side of Chicago. And I had been required to reflect on these experiences as I have them, using both those head and those heart ways of learning. And my colleagues had their own transformational experiences. And so in our last time together as a group in seminary, we were processing them all together. We were talking about how we could feel these like emotional and spiritual growth spurts that came with these learnings and these experiences. And I said something like, you know, during each of these things I do, that are so new for me and that bring me growth. I do the thinking and the stretching and I think, okay, that was a challenge. That was a stretch and it was rich. And maybe now I'm done. And then the next thing comes along and it becomes so clear that I'm not done. I think maybe we're never really done. And maybe this is what life is, just one growth opportunity after another. Creative love, our thanks we give. The hymn invites us to be glad that there is still work to be done, that we get to co-create what's next. We get to do that, that we get to keep learning and growing as we engage in that work. We get to stay in it, to willingly enter into the practice of that co-creation, grateful that we can participate and not just, as Gandhi said, wait to see what others do. We get to choose that gratitude every day, every moment, really, because every moment offers us yet another opportunity for growth. We used to call them fogs or flipping opportunities for growth, as we learn to be grateful for them. Steve Garness Holmes also has an invitation for us. I laid down the backpack, quit the journey to the far place. I set aside the pick and shovel, the coded treasure map. I renounce the person I want to become, abdicate mastery of my fate. He's saying that when we try too hard to move along some path towards some goal, like trying too hard to force something creative to arise on that blank page, we're less able to make the space for that to happen. Moses had to stop what he was doing, stop chasing the sheep around that mountainside and interact with his God in that bush to make space for the possibility of his role in leading the Israelites to freedom, to make space for his becoming. Moses also had to let go of his self-doubt and learn to trust in his God, to believe it was possible for him to be that leader. Only then could he become that leader and bring the people of Israel the chance at liberation. So the wisdom I gather from this assortment of sources is this. When we find ourselves pushing harder and harder because there's just so much that has to be done to heal this broken world, and there's so little time to do it all, we need to stop, take a breath, look for those glimmers of gratitude that we get to be part of the becoming of what's next within, between, and around us, and allow that becoming to happen. Like Gandhi said, as a person changes their own nature, so does the attitude of the world change toward them. This is the divine mystery supreme. It's like Vashti and her dot. She was so convinced she couldn't draw, and that first dot that she made was this vehement, angry dot, this stab at the paper. Frustration. But her teacher helped her see it as art. And then Vashti passed along that gift to the boy who thought he couldn't draw at the end of the story. When I was talking about gratitude earlier, I wasn't talking just about being grateful for our individual creative ability, but about being grateful that we get to be part of co-creating what's next. The line in the hymn that reminds us that we are in the making still goes on to say, as friends who share one enterprise and strive to blend with nature's will. Part of co-creating what is next is reminding each other that we are already holy vessels, as Steve Garness Holmes wrote, or supporting each other as we learn to trust that we can rest in the presence that we hold. So let us start with making those simple dots and squiggles and encouraging each other to sign them. I bet we can inspire others to do the same. May it be so. and may we be so.